I always say the aesthetic is a byproduct. Doing it ultimately to feel good day in and day out, to show up as the best version of myself for others.
Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health. My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness and nutrition, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to live life to its fullest. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Fit Food Junkies. I am so excited to interview Eric Hinman today. I recently met he and his wife, Sarah, in Austin, and we all instantly clicked while we were working out. They both have the best energy, and I can't wait for you to hear about Eric's life story today, which is so inspiring. He's accomplished so much. He's an endurance athlete, 5 times Ironman, and he's a health and wellness tech and hospitality entrepreneur and angel investor, which is so unique. I'm so excited for you to meet Eric Hinman. Eric, welcome to my podcast.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
He does the most insane workouts and he's so accomplished in all things fitness, but he also just came from a massage. And every time I'm with him, I feel like I get more of my recovery in, like ice baths and saunas. I need to do more of that in my life because you need that too.
Can't agree more. Yeah, it's become a huge part of my lifestyle. And it all started with Ironman triathlon. But I mean, the reasons why I do it now are very different than from when I started. I mean, now it's so much for mental well-being, emotional well-being, just like resetting your nervous system. Like, you know, we were just talking offline and the massage for me was just, so much of it is just having like 90 minutes of no disturbances. It's your time to like, just meditate and think deep. So, you know, the cold plunging, the saunas, I mean, all of that stuff is, it goes beyond athletic recovery. And a lot of it are the people that I meet. You know, I met you in Austin. I met some incredible people at Swatch Frontier Fitness in Austin. And, you know, that was from training and then sitting in the sauna and meeting people.
Oh, yeah. We're like getting deep in the sauna. Everyone's chatting. I love it.
Yeah. So much of that practice now is like, that's how I meet new people and have really good conversations with people is by, you know, by bonding in the sauna.
I worked out with you and with Grant McCartney and oh my gosh, I was sore for days, but it was an awesome workout that you put together for us. I can't even put into words how accomplished you are. You are an endurance athlete, 5 times Ironman, and you've put your body and your mind through so many adversities in your life that you've tackled. And I'm obsessed with mindset. I want to know what got you into competing and all these Ironmans.
I've always been very competitive against myself, more so than competitive against others, just wanting to be the best version of myself and wanting to control my destiny. So, you know, I kind of compare Ironman to business and entrepreneurship in that, you know, your results are directly correlated to how much purposeful practice you put in. So, I, you know, was an entrepreneur right out of college, started an insurance business, and then a software company. And I got into Ironman in 2008, 2009. And it was more just because some of my friends bought these fancy triathlon bikes that I thought looked cool. So I'm like, well, if I get one of these cool triathlon bikes, I probably have to sign up for a triathlon. And I did my first sprint triathlon 2009, almost drowned in the swim. I had no swimming background. I had a running background from high school. I ran track and cross country and the biking came pretty naturally to me. And I just got addicted to like the progress, you know, it's like every month you're running a little bit faster at the same heart rate. Your wattage is improving. Your times in the pool are improving. So I really like things again, where the results are directly correlated to how much work you're putting in. And, you know, triathlon is very addicting in that there's always like another, there's always like further you can go, faster you can go. So after doing my first sprint triathlon, I signed up for an Olympic distance and, you know, the Olympic distance at the time, like almost killed me. I was dead afterwards. And then I did my first half Ironman. I had to stand under a fire hose for like 45 minutes, reviving myself after that race. I was just so beat up from it. And then like an hour later, I'm like, I think I'll do a full Ironman next year. And, did a full Ironman, same thing after that first full Ironman. My body was just wrecked for a couple of weeks. I missed qualifying for the World Championships in Kona, Hawaii by one place and 1 minute. I saw the guy who got the final qualifying slot past me at mile 25 on the run. I didn't know it at the time, but I saw his age on his leg and I'm like, shit, that might be my spot. I knew I was really close to contention, and sure enough it was. So that was my motivation to, you know, do it again in 2013. I qualified that year for Kona, had a horrible race in Kona. The heat and humidity just chewed me up and spit me out. And then that was my motivation to do it again in 2014, and had a great race in Lake Placid, great race in Kona. And then I just kind of lost, you know, some of my passion and purpose for the sport and decided to try something new. And I got into CrossFit after that. And, you know, now I train more for lifestyle than anything, just wanting to be well-rounded, wanting to, you know, get that high and that mental clarity day in and day out.
I love that you said to get that high, because I was going to ask you kind of what your purpose is when you do this, you know, putting your body through so much and so much mental strain too.
I realized during those Ironman years that, you know, from the exercise, that dopamine rush afterwards, and like, you know, when you're running for 2 hours at a time or biking for 5 hours, like you got to figure out how to like put your mind in a present state. And like through those moments of presence, I just gained tremendous mental clarity of like what I wanted my life to be like. And I just felt like I was really becoming the best version of myself. I had just unlimited energy. I never had like a lull in the afternoons anymore. And, you know, my mind was sharp. My emotional well-being was great. So yeah, like early on, it was all about the athletic performance. It was all about competing. And early on, it was about competing with others. Like I wanted to beat other people and I wanted to win races. And then it slowly transitioned to like, no, I just want to see like, how good can I get at this for myself? And, you know, now it really is very much just like, I want to feel good day in and day out, physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. You also said training for life. I think that's so cool, because I remember one time I was at the gym and I saw this older guy working out, and he was working out really intensely and it was so admirable. And I asked him, I go, are you training for something? He goes, I'm training for life. And I just thought that was so cool and empowering and just a really powerful statement. I think so many times people train to just physically look good. And of course, you know, that comes with it, but it's so much more than that. So much more than that.
I always say the aesthetic is a byproduct. You know, I'm doing it ultimately to feel good day in and day out, to show up as the best version of myself for others, you know. And I go to a meeting after a workout, like my mind is sharp. I can, you know, have a really good engaging conversation with that person and hopefully introduce them to other people. It's just like, you know, your mind is firing on all cylinders after a workout or after one of those recovery sessions.
It's an amazing euphoric feeling. A lot of people talk about the flow state and a lot of runners talk about it. I know myself as a runner, you start, it gets hard. And then once you get into the rhythm, you get into your flow state. How did you keep that motivation up and consistently getting your flow state and get in the rhythm of your race and kind of becoming your own competition?
Yeah, so definitely my days are built around flow. Like I practice activities throughout the day that keep me in flow state. Exercise obviously is one of them. And I have this like 15-minute rule with things where like the first 15 minutes, biking, running, swimming, CrossFit, like it takes about 15 minutes to really drop into something. So, you know, I like building my days around things that are going to last, you know, 15 minutes or more, because I know it'll take me 15 minutes to like really get in the zone with whatever that activity is. And that goes for like meetings with people as well, just so you can be fully present in whatever you're doing. So yeah, for me, it's like that first, the first thing I do each morning is make coffee and then go to the gym and get that 90-minute workout in. And, you know, from there, it's just flow for the rest of the day. I usually have a meeting with someone afterwards, where it's an engaging conversation that continues that flow state. And then I go off into the mountains and do some kind of aerobic activity every afternoon, where like mountain biking, super technical, you know, skill-based activity, your heart rate's elevated, you're soaking up the sun, you're in nature, like all of these things combined produce a flow state like no other. So I've figured out not only the activities, but like the environments and, you know, the blocks of time that I set aside to do these activities to be able to stay in that flow. And then same thing with like the sauna and cold exposure. Like, you know, the sauna, A, it gets uncomfortable, but B, you're usually with other people in a captive environment having a really good conversation with them. So there you go, another flow state activity. And then, you know, the cold exposure too, you have to be very present and in the moment. Otherwise, if your mind is wandering, or it's just so easy to quit, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, it is. And so you say it's so easy to quit. How do you not quit?
So I think it's, you train your mind to understand that the pain is temporary and that the benefit that you're going to get afterwards is worth that short amount of pain. It's kind of like a CrossFit workout. You know, like I've done it so many times now that I can wrap my head around, like, yeah, that first 15 seconds of Fran, that first 30 seconds of Fran, like it's going to suck, but it's not going to get any worse than that very beginning portion. And it's the same with the cold exposure. You know, the first 15 seconds is really where, you know, your body and mind are in shock, and then you settle in. It just becomes the new norm. So practice, like anything, public speaking, you know, it's right. Like you do it enough times, you just kind of know that like you're going to get through it. Like it might be uncomfortable in the very beginning, but you're going to catch your flow in it.
Catching your flow, it's difficult. I think it's even more difficult for people who are new to fitness, because for me, like when you say flow state, I know the feeling, I can picture it, I can feel it, you know, but I think for a lot of people, it's so hard to reach that. It's kind of hard to know how to get there. Yeah. How do you set yourself up to reach that flow state? Because not everyone's going to love running and get a love of biking and all the things. How do you prepare yourself to get into that state? And I guess find the routine or the exercise that works for you to get into flow.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I think, you know, having a routine of doing something over and over again, that's a skill-based activity. It could be you know, playing the piano. It could be tennis, like any of these skill-based activities that require you to focus on them in the moment, like they're going to produce flow state once you achieve a certain level within them. Like, you know, my first year of CrossFit trying to snatch, was I ever in flow state snatching? No. I mean, I was awkward as hell with it. You know, I couldn't overhead squat a PVC pipe, but, you know, I stuck with it long enough to develop enough skill to be good enough that like I could do the movement and then continue adding weight. And then, you know, all of a sudden it becomes like this activity where you're completely present in the moment doing it. But you continue to improve incrementally. That's why I love mountain biking. It combines so many different aspects that put you in flow state. But again, like you had like the first 10 times I went mountain biking, I was falling all the time and, you know, jumping off my bike. And like, it was not flow state, but I did it enough times to get enough skill to be able to do it well enough that I could really, you know, become a good mountain biker. And, you know, then a lot of the things early on that aren't on autopilot become autopilot. And when you start going fast and descending this technical terrain and you're in Mother Nature and your heart rate's up, you know, you're just like completely in the moment. So yeah, I think it's like having a routine of finding things you enjoy that are skill-based, doing it enough that you become good enough at it. And then, you know, picking something where you can just continue to improve. And there's tons of things that are like that. Music, there's, you know, it all depends on your personality. And also like, what do you have access to? Like I have access to easy, you know, mountain biking trails. You know, if you live in Florida, probably not, but you have pickleball in Florida. So you know, finding things that, you know, are within your environment. And then also like conversations with people, like I find those to be like flow state activities. And again, that's just like finding your tribe. Like I have an awesome tribe here in Denver of people that are like-minded and we all like grow from each other. Same when I was in Austin. So, you know, figuring out who your tribe is and, you know, where they gravitate to.
Not everyone knows what exactly consists in an Ironman. Can you tell us what it consists of?
Yeah, it's a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, and then a marathon. A good time is sub 10 hours. You have to complete it within 17 hours in order to say that you completed the Ironman. They shut down the course after 17 hours. So the cool thing about Ironman is like every single person that's towing that starting line, they put in a lot of work to get there. Like you can't just show up to an Ironman and do it. I don't care how great of an athlete you are. Like you have to put some dedicated work in to show up to that starting line. So it's cool just seeing like all walks of life knowing how much work and how much sacrifice all of these people put in. So yeah, that's Ironman.
What was the hardest? Do you think the run, swim, or the bike was the hardest?
Yeah, I mean, the run is the hardest. Like for anyone, the run is going to be the hardest. Mm. For me, like the swim was where I lost the most time. I just never became a really good swimmer. But I mean, running that distance off the bike is brutal on your mind and body. I mean, you're just like, for me, I was like setting these mini goals, like every mile, looking forward to on the courses, they serve Coca-Cola, which spikes your blood sugar, especially like later in the race as you're just like completely drained. Like you have that little sip of Coca-Cola and you have a high for like 30 seconds. So I would just like focus on that. Like next mile, I get to have a little cup of Coca-Cola. It's going to spike my blood sugar. I'm going to feel good for 30 seconds. And that window gets shorter and shorter, but like, you got to like trick your mind into A, believing that you can do it, and B, like, oh, hey, what's my next little goal I can get to? Because yeah, mile two, if you start thinking about like how much you have 24 miles to go after biking 112 miles, like you're going to mentally defeat yourself. So it's as much, you know, just like business, it's as much mental as it is physical.
I'm a big believer in tricking your mind. I did the sprint triathlon. I can't compare it to an Ironman, but when I was, I'm not a swimmer. And when I was swimming, every single time I saw a buoy, I treated it like it was the finish line, even though it was just quarter of the way. Yeah. You trick your mind to say, okay, once I get to this point, the finish line, then it's like the next part of your journey as you go on, and setting kind of these short-term goals and a long-term challenge. So I do love that idea about tricking your mind. And if you actually believe it and tell yourself that, it's going to consume your mind. Your mind's going to 100% take that in.
Yeah. My coach always told me, think like a bumblebee and train like a racehorse. So a bumblebee, because of its like round size, it's not supposed to fly, but because it believes it can, it does fly. And then a racehorse, like it just listens to its master, you know, it doesn't overthink the training. It just does what it's told to do. And like, that's so important in Ironman or anything where, you know, you have this goal way down the road. Like you just have to execute daily and you have to stick to a plan.
What would you say is maybe it's the most painful point throughout this Ironman journey or one of your biggest failures throughout it?
So, I mean, my most painful point was I crashed 10 days before Ironman Lake Placid in 2013 and didn't think I was going to be able to race. I had my stitches taken out 3 days before the race and I had to buddy tape my fingers together in order to swim. Like the pain was just so much on my hand. I had road rash all over me. But you know, again, it was just one of those things where it was like mind over matter. Like I had trained for, you know, 3 years for that race. And it's like, no, I'm not letting anything get in the way of my goal of getting to Kona. Like I'm going to do everything it takes to do it. So, I mean, that was mentally and physically painful until like I got into the moment and I'm just, you know, it, once I like got through the swim, and I was like relieved that that was done. Like, even though I couldn't grip my handlebars on my bike, I was like so excited that I was through the swim and just ripping on the bike that, you know, everything, just the pain just kind of washed away. So again, like tricking your mind, you know, disappointment wise, like definitely that first year in Kona was really disappointing. I had, I was very fit. I had high ambitions to do really well in the race. And, you know, on the bike, I just fell apart. My stomach was rocked and I just couldn't produce any power. And like, I had to, like, I wanted to quit, like from mile 20 on in the bike, which, you know, that's probably 2 hours into a 10-hour race. I wanted to quit for 8 hours. And like every 10 minutes I thought about quitting. So, I mean, that was incredibly mentally painful, but I'm like, I have this opportunity that so many people would die for, of like being in Kona racing on this amazing island. So it was just like, I'm going to take this opportunity to finish this race, even though it's going to take me way longer than, you know, my goals had me completing it in. So, and I'm glad I did. Like had I quit, I would have regretted that for the rest of my life.
You crashed into a ditch. You're making this sound super nonchalant, and then you just got back up. And the doctors, the nurses were saying, no way are you getting back tomorrow. And then the first thing you're like, can I swim? Can I bike tomorrow? And you did it. Yeah. It's so admirable. What really was the fire in you that was like, I am going back out there and I'm not quitting?
Yeah. I mean, during that period of time, I was just so focused on getting to the world championships. I mean, literally every single training session, I was visualizing being in Kona. So it was so important to me. And like, that was my purpose. I had a tremendous purpose. And I think you'll find with anyone that achieves at any high level or anyone that spends a long time doing something, like they have some like purpose deep within that is, you know, pushing them to get to where they want to go. And that was it for me. So, you know, there just wasn't like I was in the ER for 5 hours. And I remember the nurse came in and I'm like, will I be able to swim tomorrow? And she was like, no. I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm going to try swimming tomorrow. And she's like, you're not going to be able to swim tomorrow. And I'm like, well, I'll bike or run. Like, I got to continue training leading up to Ironman Lake Placid. And she's like, you're not going to be able to bike and run. Sure enough, I wasn't able to swim. She was right about that, but I wasn't able to bike and run leading up to it. So,
wow.
Yeah. Again, wow. It's just like, if you tell yourself you're going to do something, yeah, like it, you just force yourself to do it.
How do you consistently visualize? Like, did you write things down? Did you say things to yourself to every time, like, have that be ingrained in your head every day to give you a purpose and reason for competing and training?
Yeah. So during that time period, I was doing a lot of my cycling indoors. I was doing 5-hour rides indoors on a trainer, and I was watching like all the different years of Kona on YouTube. So I was like watching the race while I was training, envisioning myself being there, like biking on the Queen K and running on a leaky drive. So yeah, like I knew Kona before I ever got there because I'd watched it so many times and I just kept telling myself like, that's going to be me. So yeah, I was putting myself in the footsteps of others, like knowing where you want to go and where you want to take it.
I think that's amazing advice for anything that you want to accomplish in life, to consistently surround your environment with those things that make you visualize that end goal. You said even post Ironman, you got into CrossFit and then you set records and ranked. Can you tell us about that path? And I loved how it's kind of like, okay, you lose a little passion for that. You're not going to force yourself. You're going to find something else that you're passionate about. So I admire that you kept going for really what you were just, what you feel good doing in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a tough time period between 2015 and 2017 of, you know, going from this high level Ironman athlete, and that was really my identity, to, you know, kind of bottom of the barrel CrossFit, because I hadn't done any Olympic lifting or gymnastics work. And, you know, that first year, like 2016, when I was making the switch, like I was training 4 or 5 hours a day for CrossFit and I kept getting hurt. Like I wanted so badly to be a high level CrossFit athlete, to have an identity again. And it took me a good year to like wrap my head around, like, I probably have started too late to be a high level CrossFit athlete. And like, I'm doing this just because I want to be the best version of myself. And I don't need to be doing this to have an identity as an athlete. So, yeah. I mean, that was a tough transition, but you know, that's where I'm at now. And you know, again, like with CrossFit, you know, now I have the technical ability to do the lifts and I'm able to do some heavier weight and I've become a decent CrossFit athlete, but you know, I'm 5 years into doing it now. So, you know, that was kind of the same with triathlon. It wasn't like overnight. It was 2009 to 2013 when I qualified for Kona. So, you know, I guess if there's any like superpower I have with any of this, it's just the ability to focus on one thing for a long period of time. And you know, if you do that and you say no to a lot of other things, then you're going to become pretty good at it, whatever it is.
Did you feel like you had a sense or a loss of identity after you were leaving Ironman?
100%. Yeah. It was very difficult to go from, you know, known as this elite Ironman athlete and everyone asking you when your next race is and congratulating you to, yeah, I'm like, I instantly wanted to be an elite CrossFit athlete. I wanted to go from one identity to another, and that just wasn't going to happen. So yeah, there was a 1 year period at least of like feeling kind of bad about myself for like leaving Ironman, but I had no like passion or purpose for it anymore. So I didn't want to just go through the motions. I was training 25 hours a week. I mean, it was no small amount of time. And yeah, I just realized that like, I'm going to keep getting hurt if I try to like really force myself into CrossFit. And, you know, at the time, I think I was 34, 35. So, you know, I was certainly not in my CrossFit prime at that age going into it. So I had to check my ego and, you know, realize why I was really doing it. And it was to feel good day in and day out. And, you know, now I have a a good balance, you know, like I follow a program, but at the same time, like, I don't care if I make the CrossFit games. If I do, great, but I'm doing it day in and day out because I enjoy it. I enjoy the people I train with. If I don't feel like doing CrossFit today and feel like mountain biking or road biking or hiking instead, I'll do that. And like during those Ironman years, I was very pigeonholed in. Like if my training program said an hour run, I was running for an hour. If it said a 2.5 hour bike, I'm biking for 2.5 hours. And like those were my first and foremost priorities.
I love how you kind of put yourself first and checked in with yourself and said, you know, am I still passionate about this? And you put yourself first, and that's very admirable. I also love mountain biking. I grew up mountain biking too. So I can definitely, it's so fun. And I think that some people think that it can be kind of like this intimidating sport. And once you get into it, being in nature, it is, it's amazing. You get that flow state, adrenaline rush. I love it.
Yeah. And you see so much terrain that you couldn't otherwise see. You cover so much ground. It's such a great activity.
Back trails. Oh yeah. It's awesome. I also think what's really rare and unique about you as a fitness professional is that you're also an entrepreneur and you're an angel investor. I know you invested in two very big companies. I'd love to hear about that journey as well, because I think a lot of listeners, including myself, I feel like, you know, fitness professional, but also an entrepreneur. And I think it's great to have both of, like, to wear a bunch of hats, be a part of different things that you're passionate about.
So those were my Syracuse years. I was in Syracuse from 2003 until 2017. And throughout that time period, I started an insurance brokerage, property and casualty insurance, a software company with some business partners that went to Syracuse University called Rounded, and then invested in and co-founded a gym called Urban Life Athletics, and then invested and co-founded two restaurants, Original Grain and Exo Taco. I'm no longer involved in any of them. I recently sold my shares in the restaurants. Just being out here in Colorado, I haven't been involved last 3 or 4 years in any of them, but you know, they were all passion projects and they were all like friends that I went into business with. So, you know, none of them were like, you know, just online, like looking for opportunities and saying, I want to do that. It was like relationships I developed and we had shared passions and, you know, we saw a need in the market. So we created it. And like all of my angel investments, like 10,000, they were the same. They were like people that I met at like an HPLT, you know, where there's just like-minded people interacting. And, you know, I built relationships with founders of companies or people that wanted to create things. And yeah, if it's something where I feel like I can add value beyond money, like a product I like, a service I like, mm-hmm. something where I feel like my audience would be interested in it, something where I feel like I have contacts in the space and can help them grow, then yeah, those are kind of my criteria to invest or co-found in something. But yeah, I mean, it goes back to like, you know, athletics where you're controlling your destiny. Like I like things where like I have a vested interest and, you know, I can see the results of my work. You know, I do invest in like stocks and, you know, I have retirement plans, but those other ones are what really like get me jazzed where, you know, it's more than just putting money into something.
You invest also not just in the company or product, but in the people as well. It sounds like
100% invest in the people. Yeah. That's so important.
How do you find the right people? How do you know it's the right people? How do you kind of find your tribe?
Yeah. So I use this analogy of collecting dots and connecting dots. So like first you need to say yes to a lot of things, like yes to lots of meetings, yes to lots of opportunities, yes to, you know, all sorts of networking opportunities, just to start collecting dots and amassing, you know, some social capital and understanding like who you are and like what you bring to the table. So, you know, I spent years doing that of like co-founding different businesses, understanding what I was good at, you know, figuring out what people I clicked with. And then once you've collected enough of these dots, you need to be opportunistic and you need to start connecting dots. So, you know, like my business partner in the restaurants, I met him at my gym through fitness and we had shared passions for health and wellness. We had shared passions for a healthy, fast, casual restaurant. We had similar like branding ideas and similar like vibe ideas. And he had the culinary background and I had some of the business background. So, you know, it was perfect, but you know, it wasn't just like we randomly, you know, were matched up. It's like I had to spend years, you know, getting to that point where we were in the same room together. We both had enough time to understand like what our value was and what we enjoyed. And then, yeah, you know, magic happened. But it takes a while of like saying yes to lots of things, meeting lots of people to amass enough dots to then start connecting the dots.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting because it's like you want to say yes to a lot of things too, but also know where your boundaries lie and when to say no to, which is also powerful, and know how to balance that.
100%. And like, once I dived into that with him, like, yeah, tunnel vision. Once I realized that triathlon was my thing, tunnel vision. So yeah, you have to understand like how much of your time should be allocated to saying yes to different things and how much of your time should be allocated to like tunnel vision on one thing. If you wouldn't fly to Tokyo with that person, you know, sitting next to them on a plane for 24 hours, then it's probably not a good fit for a business partner. So yeah, like, do you enjoy spending time with your partners, with the people you're investing in? And yeah, hopefully that answer is yes. Otherwise, if your gut, you know, is telling you like you don't want to spend a lot of time with them, then it's probably not the right tribe for you. But no, you'll find your tribe.
Do you have one thing that you do every day that sets you up for success, whether it's with people, with fitness, in business?
Yeah, I mean, 100% workout. Like, I don't book early flights. I don't book early meetings. Like, that first workout is super important to me, just to, you know, get my head right. And I know after that first workout, like, I'm going to have mental clarity. I'm going to have unlimited energy for the day. And I'm going to show up as the best version of myself. So yeah, that is the practice. And, you know, it's like eating a healthy breakfast before that, eating a healthy breakfast after. It's like there's some, you know, getting deep sleep the night before, so it sets you up for a good workout. So, you know, there's things that play into it, but definitely, you know, getting a workout first thing in the morning, I feel like that sets me in the right path of being the best version of myself.
And are there any supplements? I know you take some awesome supplements that you recommend for people to take.
So definitely creatine. If you're looking to build muscle or performance, creatine is one of the most studied supplements. So I 100% recommend that. I like beta alanine pre-workout, like Vital Performance, their pre has it in it, or you can just take beta alanine. That for me is an incredible for just like, increasing my lactic threshold in some of the CrossFit workouts. For the endurance training, I always liked Beat products like Beat Elite. Just to fuel endurance. And at night, we take this product called Bean Dream, which has melatonin, CBD, tryptophan, before we go to sleep every night. It's like our little treat, and it knocks us out. So we get hours of deep sleep every night. Those would be some of my go-tos. Collagen is incredible too. I mean, it's something that you lose as you age. So definitely supplement with some kind of collagen.
That's great. I need to try Beam. I've actually been wanting to, and I have not tried it yet.
Awesome. Beam is so awesome. Yeah. Get the powder form, mix it in with almond milk, and it's such a good treat before bed.
I want to ask you my last and final question. At Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. So Eric, what are you addicted to?
I mean, definitely the high that you get from health and wellness, whether it's, you know, that workout, whether it's aerobic activity outside, being in the sun, sauna, cold exposure, just like any of these self-care practices that, you know, force complete presence and give you incredible energy afterwards.
I couldn't agree more and vouch for that. I think so many times people get lost and they go to alcohol or drugs or just really negative parts of their life. And if people got more into fitness and felt those highs, it's a game changer. It is a game changer. Eric, how can people connect with you and find you?
Yeah, my Instagram, my name, Eric Hinman. Shoot me a DM if you guys have any questions, and happy to chat anything, health and wellness, entrepreneurship, you name it.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for coming on. Such a pleasure. I know I'll see you in Austin soon, or I'll have to visit you guys in Denver, but thank you.
Please
seriously. Too. You're so inspiring.
So good seeing you, Emily.
You too.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you feel super motivated and inspired by Eric. Maybe this is your chance. Maybe this is the push you needed to sign up for a race today, something that gets you outside of your comfort zone to have that breakthrough moment. Message me at Fit Food Junkies or Eric at Eric Hinman and let us know what next challenge you are going to partake in and crush. I am so excited that you are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.